that you have given us the privilege and the honor to be present as we turn the page on the year of our Lord 2017 and we begin the year of our Lord 2018 of your church. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to celebrate this first Sunday, the Sunday of hope, as we begin our Advent journey. Lord, may we be ever mindful of what St. Paul shares with us, that we lack no gifts, we lack in no spiritual gifts as we wait for you to be revealed. Lord, you have given us everything we need. Help us to walk forward in that confidence and in boldness as we celebrate that you have purposed us to be here at this time in history. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is exciting when you think about it that the Lord has chosen us for such a time as this, isn't it? When you think about all the times in history that we could have been born, and I don't know how many of you arranged your birth, at what time and in what place. You know, if you're really in control, if you were really the people that we tend to think of ourselves as, we would have a control over these things, right? But I don't think many of you did. But it's amazing to me that God has chosen us for such a time as this, right? He's chosen us to be people of hope in a time when there is not a lot of hope. Every year when we get to the end of the year, it's always kind of fun because we are ahead of the world. I keep saying this every year because it's true. We are ahead of the world on this one thing. We always celebrate New Year's early because the church year starts at the first Sunday in Advent. So we get this chance to jump ahead and we get to evaluate before the rest of the world is evaluating what the Lord has done over the last year and how do we get to this point and what is his plans for us? Why did he keep us here for this next year? What does he have in store for us? And one of the things I like to do is I like to ask the Lord, what is it that you want of Brian Schindel? What is it that you have in the gifts that you've given to me that you would like me to be here in the year of 2018 of the church? What is it that you have given me as an individual and given to us as a church that would call us to this point in history? And the thing that I ask the Lord is, what are the challenges that we face? What are the challenges that we face as people of hope in a world that often seems hopeless? What is it? What are the issues out there in the world that we seem to be facing today? What are some? Division in our country, in the world, right? Okay, in the church, yeah. Insecurity, okay. That's a good one. Lots of that going around. Anger, yeah. Fear. Yeah, terrorist attacks, persecution, martyrdom around the world. We live in a time when the Christians are being martyred at a rate that we've never seen before. We just happen to be in the Western world where it's not so evident, but it's happening around the world in huge numbers. Well, I asked the Lord, and I've been praying about this for the last 2 weeks, and I asked the Lord, what is it that we face? What is it that we as individuals here at Cross Resurrection, the chapel at EMU, what do we face as we look forward to this next year? And what was really interesting was the Lord led me to an article. I believe it was him because I didn't even subscribe to this blog. It just showed up. And it was talking about the challenge that we face as Christians going into this next year. And it was the fact that we live in a society where people don't like change. How many of us would agree with this? By nature, we don't like change. And that people succumb to closed systems. What it means by closed systems is they only believe or see or trust in things that they can experience with their senses. Does this make sense to you? Right? So, for example, they will put faith in medical science if someone has a procedure and it works. They'll put faith in that. They'll put faith in science and technology. They put faith in technology because they see it as the future. They're looking to the Amazons of the world, the Bezos of the world. They're looking to them to make things better. They're looking, and they want it to remain in a closed system. They want to be able to explain everything. They want to be able to see everything and explain it within this closed system. A good example is when we start talking about economics. I have to apologize. I took history, economics, and poli sci in university. So you have to understand I'm kind of weird this way. But I like hearing about history because I think history is what we, you know, we're, if we don't know history, we're doomed to repeat it, right? So I think history is important. So I just downloaded a book called The Rise and Fall of Alexandria. I'm looking forward to reading it. Some people say, oh, that's really boring. Well, it's not boring to me. But it's interesting because as you look at history, you find out that it is human nature to want to stay within a closed system. And even in economics, we're right now fighting over, in our country, we're fighting over this tax cut, right? Everybody knows this. It's constant. It's never ending. It gets me very frustrated because it's so negative. It's so depressing because it's constant bombardment. And I was thinking the funny thing was that when I listen to people talk, they are thinking a closed system. They're thinking that the economy, I've been through this in Canada. We went through this 4 times that I remember where we've gone through economic recession and then economic, you know how that works, right? Good times and bad times. And every time we're in a bad time, people are, because we live in a mindset of closed systems, they say, well, the economy can't improve anymore. The economy can't grow anymore. There's no more money. There's no more taxes. It's all we got is what we got. And they forget about growth. And so then they go through the upswing, and then they go, well, that was really cool. We grew by 4% a year, or 5%, or even more. And then we go back through a recession time, and everybody gets back into their closed system again. And they say, this is all there is. So if you think this is just a church problem, it's not. It's in society. It's in our culture, right? We like closed systems. We like to think that this is all there is. What we can see, what we can taste, what we can hear, what we can smell. Did I miss one? Yeah, I missed one. I don't remember what I missed. Anyways, what we can experience is our closed system. And yet the biggest challenge for us as Christians today is not to revert to a religious mentality of a closed system where, you know, we only do what we can afford to do. We only do what we can accomplish with our talents. We only do what we think we can accomplish with the amount of people we have. Right? Because isn't that our tendency as people? We don't want to be stretched. We don't want to go beyond what we are comfortable with because we're scared of failure. Isn't that really what it is? Fear of failure? So I want you to hear what St. Paul has to say to the church in Corinth, because if there's any church that is really dealing with a lot of the issues we're dealing with today, it's a church at Corinth. If you look around, if you look on the internet, if you look on Facebook, if you look at all these things and look at what the biggest issues in our society are, we are very similar to the Corinthians, okay? So when Paul is writing his first letter to the Corinthians, this is what he says to them. Turn this on. Would help. He says, we're not lacking in any gifts. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what happens within us as human beings is we get nervous and we're in a closed system and we think to ourselves, this is all there is and we don't have enough. How many of us, when we come on Sunday morning and there isn't a lot of people, we go, uh-oh, I don't have enough. We're lacking. How are we going to accomplish what we need to accomplish? We're lacking. And it's interesting because St. Paul writes to this church, and he's very specific with them, and he says, you are not lacking in any gifts. It's funny because later on in chapter 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14, he's going to have to teach them about how they're kind of going overboard on certain gifts and not stressing certain others. But he wants them to understand that they're not lacking in anything. Everything they need to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish has been given to them, right? Isn't that what it says? It's not my words. It says, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. How many of us have found ourselves feeling like we're lacking? Don't you? I feel that way. There are many times I think to myself, man, how are we going to accomplish what God is putting on our hearts? We don't have enough people. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. And I mean, I feel that way. And when I was looking at I want to be honest with you. As I was praying for the Lord to show me what the challenges would be for our congregation going forward into 2018, I was kind of depressed at the first part of it because I felt this spirit of lacking. But then the Lord started showing me what he's doing. And, you know, not all of us can be at the food ministry on Saturdays, right? Not all of us can be at pancakes on Friday nights. Not all of us can be here when things are happening in our building with students using this space, when people coming in and out. You know, when we were closed here on one day because James had to go someplace, and so the doors were locked when I came, and how many people knocked on the door because I was sitting in my office and I forgot to unlock the door, the front door, and people were knocking on the door. I mean, we are in an amazing place, an amazing opportunity, and yet I honestly felt like we are lacking. And the Lord had to change my perspective and say, what is it with you? Why do you live in this closed system? You live in a closed system where you don't see that I have everything under control. That if you are my people and you are my church, then I have it under control. I have the plans for you. I have the what you need, and I will give you even more than you need. I have to tell you, it was a humbling experience. I have to say, it was a humbling experience to go through that. But then, as I was preparing this lesson, that's why I asked them to. It was actually Mark 11. I made that mistake, Matthew 11 up there, but it's Mark 11. As I was preparing for this lesson, there was a choice between the gospel lessons. One was Mark 13, and one was Mark 11. And I picked Mark 11 originally because I thought it'd be kind of cool to talk about what the people said about Jesus, right? When they were coming in on the donkey, Jesus in his triumphal entry, how they were saying, you know, the leaders were telling him in another gospel, you know, don't let these people say these things. Don't let them say, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Don't let them say these things. And what did he say? If they don't cry out, even the rocks will cry out. Even the stones will cry out. I mean, that's how powerful this is. But you know what the Lord led me to was, he led me to the first part of this. And I think it was because, again, I was living in a mindset of a closed system. He said, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village, probably Bethphage, into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back immediately. Now, this is what the Lord, you know, it's so funny because I was adamant that I wanted to preach on what the people said when he came in the triumphal entry. But this is what the Lord impressed upon me. It was like flashing lights in my Bible when I got to this. He said, do you see what I did here? And I've read this so many times that it never dawned on me that this is an example again. It's not as big an example as when he calmed the storm and when he healed the sick and when he did miraculous things in front of a lot of people, but it was significant for me because it's a subtle thing. It's a subtle thing. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. Now, does that not sound weird to you? Does that not sound weird? Because it's, you know, I've read this so many times in preparation to getting to the triumphal entry. I've read it so many times, but I mean, I just taken it back and sitting there going, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? You're trying to tell me you have all these details under control. You have all these things figured out. I don't have to worry about the colt. You got it figured out. And would I have been there like those two, probably going, say what? Because really, I mean, it does sound weird. Go to that village over there, and when you walk in, immediately you'll see to your, I imagine you probably said to your left or to your right, immediately you, as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. He's taking care of all these details, right? How many of us sweat the details? Yeah, Beth's back there. We just went through a wedding. She's the bride, was the bride. Now she's the wife. But we know about those details, right? We sweat those details. And here Jesus just takes care of it. It's like, go in that village over there. You're going to see a colt. Never been sat on. Untie it. Bring it. And then he says, if anybody says anything to you, say, the Lord has need of it, and it will send it back immediately. And then there's this little phrase that I think is so powerful. He says, and they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside on the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't live in a closed system, do we? We live in a system where God intervenes, where God swoops in and does things that are miraculous, that are unexplainable, that even science and technology and the greatest minds in our time can't figure out. Amen? We live in a time where God wants to intervene in the world in miraculous ways, and all he's looking for are people who are willing to untie the colt. Really, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who will listen to his word and put it into practice so he can show up and do things. And I'll tell you something, I need your support in this because it is so easy for me, and it's just the way I'm built, I guess, so easy for me to see a lack of things. And yet we are not to have that attitude, are we? Because we don't serve a God who's lacking. We serve a God of abundance. We serve a God who can do things beyond our ability to even imagine or think it. We serve a God who's so much bigger than us. Last year I said I wanted the year to be about preaching, teaching, and healing. I have seen people healed this year. I have seen amazing things happen. It has been an amazing year. When you look back, there have been, you know, like, again, ups and downs, okay? That's normal life. But God has done some amazing things. And he continues to call us to ask him and to trust in him, to go on and tie the colt. And what are we supposed to do? We tell him what the Lord said. The same thing applies to us, doesn't it? We tell those people who ask the question, we say, this is what the Lord said. Right? Isn't that awesome? That's the simple command. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back immediately. And they went away and found a colt, tied a door outside in the streets, and they untied it. And some of them standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said. Isn't that awesome? If we're wondering, how is he going to do this? We're going to let people know what he says. You want to know what year 2018 is going to be? I believe it's going to be a year for us to be people of hope, trusting that the Lord is going to do what he promises, and what he promises is what we're going to share. I want this to be a year where we share with people what he promises, and we trust that he is capable of keeping his promises, that we are not lacking, because that's what it is so easy to feel. Satan wants us to feel like we're alone. He wants us to feel like we're lacking. He wants us to feel like our God has bound himself in this system, when he is above and beyond the system. He can heal. He can do miraculous things. I mean, he is so far above the system. His ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts so much higher than our thoughts. So I want to close with the reading that we didn't read today, but I'm going to read it now. It's a wonderful passage of scripture from Isaiah 64. And I'm going to read part of it. You have it in the service if you're looking for the exact verses. But I want to read this part. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like polluted garments. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the works of your hands. But not so terribly, be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Remember the song about God being our potter? He is the potter, we are the clay. I love those words. Because we melt in our iniquities, it says, right? He melts us in our iniquities. He destroys our pride. He destroys our feeling of sufficiency. He destroys our belief that somehow what we have belongs to us. He destroys our feelings like we can figure this out on our own. He destroys our ability. He wants us to be in a position where we need him. Folks, it's not comfortable. It's not fun. Sorry. I'm just telling you. If we're in a situation where we need him, it's not a pleasant experience. On our human side, we like it when we're comfortable and we can take care of ourselves. Right? That's where we are as a society, aren't we? We got technology, we got medicine, we got all these things. We can take care of everything ourselves, thank you very much. We don't need you. And yet that's where the Lord wants us. He wants to melt us in our iniquities so we see how foolish it is to think that we can somehow do it on our own. To think how foolish it is that we've got enough money and enough talent and enough of, you know, no. But we're not lacking in any gifts when he shows up with his power. We're not lacking in any gifts when he does the work, when he melts us, and as the song went, and molds us, and makes us, and fills us, and uses us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a great procedure? It's painful, but doesn't it have great results? So we are in a season of hope, anticipation, and expectation. What is the Lord at work at in this new year? What does the Lord have in store for us? Do we trust his words that we are lacking nothing in the gifts we need to do his will in his kingdom? I really believe that the Lord is leading us into a year of letting him melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. I know it's always important to evaluate the last year and then consider what the Lord has for us who are the people of hope. My prayer for us is that we look at this new year with a sense of anticipation and expectation because we are people of hope. And we may be, from a worldly point of view, we may look around and say, man, we're lacking. But the reality is, the word is true. We lack nothing in regards to the gifts that we need because the Lord has our back, right? The Lord is our strength. He wants to melt us, mold us, make us, fill us, and use us. May that be our request this new year. Amen.